Our focus for this week is the poor in spirit. Our main text is taken from the very beginning of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 3. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. The disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." I am sure we will all agree that Jesus was the best teacher there ever was and ever will be. He had this wonderful way and very effective way of connecting with his hearers, whether it was just one person or a tiny group of people or a huge crowd. He knew how to connect with their current experience and use words that describe things that were immediately relevant to them to teach profound spiritual truths. So, we have to understand that Jesus' use of the poor, of the word poor, to describe the inner condition, the inner state of someone who has the amazing blessing of having the kingdom of heaven in them. That's what it means to possess the kingdom of heaven or to have the kingdom of heaven. It means that you have the kingdom of heaven in you. That's an amazing blessing because it guarantees that you will enter the kingdom of God. So, Jesus' use of the word poor had to be significant. He could have used the word humble, but he didn't. There are many other words he could have used, but he chose to use the word poor. And I think the reason, we will find the reason in the type of people he was speaking to. And if we bear that in mind, we would understand probably why there are so many misinterpretations of that simple statement, but so critical statement, so vital for our well-being. You would have heard, I've heard different teachings about this that seem to be saying different things about the same thing. And I think the problem is the way people connect or react to the word poor. So a good place for us to start is to examine our own selves. How do we react when we hear that word? What are the words we think about when we hear the word poor? Because that would determine how we react to Jesus' teaching. So let's do a little exercise. Just as I put that word poor on the screen, you probably thought of an alternative word or you reacted to it in some way. So just a little exploration. Think of one word or two that you would use instead of the word poor. I won't give you very long, so start thinking immediately. If it helps you to focus, just say to someone next to you, what word would you use to replace the word poor? I'm hearing some suggestions. That's great. Now I'm going to give you a selection of words, just a short list. See if the word you thought of or said is on my short list. I have words like destitute, low income, needy, imperfect. no income at all, inferior, substandard, mediocre, bad, deficient. It doesn't matter if your word does not appear, is not a test. You haven't failed if your word is not on the screen. Because we could add many more words there. And it's because there are so many varying descriptions of the poor that we have misunderstandings of what Jesus said. One thing we can just summarize from the words I've put on the screen or the words on my shortlist, one thing we can sort of understand from there is that you could have an impression of the word poor or poverty that leads you to compassion. It leads you to compassion for the poor. And you don't have that kind of violent reaction to the idea of poverty. On the other hand, there are words there that suggest that people can be very critical of the poor too. And they can have an aversion to that idea of poverty. Or people might, in fact, feel superior if they're not poor. So they don't want any suggestion that they could be poor. And imagine how quickly the people will skate over what Jesus just said without trying to understand it. Because they don't want to relate to the word poor. And yet Jesus said, those who have the kingdom of heaven are those who are poor in spirit. So what did Jesus mean? How are we going to really understand exactly what he said? Because what he said is not open to interpretation. He's not open to different interpretations. He meant something when he said it. And because of Jesus' style of teaching, we can assume that he was connecting to the people he had in front of him. And so we must go there. We must look at that group in front of Jesus that day on the mountainside. From our main text, there were two groups. You had the crowds and you had the disciples. And everybody in that audience that were listening to Jesus that day would either be numbered among the crowds or numbered among the disciples. But who were they really? If you go back a little into Matthew chapter 4, you will find who the poor were. There were people who had diseases. They were demon-possessed. They were the downtrodden. People who, because of their conditions, probably could not support themselves. They understood what poverty was. In those days, remember, they didn't have a brilliant welfare system that took care of those who couldn't work for whatever reason. They didn't have an excellent NHS like we do. They didn't have an excellent healthcare system. So if you were diseased or disabled or demon-possessed, that was it. You were destitute and you had to depend on benefactors for daily survival. They understood poverty. Many people in this world don't understand what poverty really is. They've never experienced it, so they don't know. But these people knew what poverty was. What about the disciples? Well, if you backtrack again in the text, you will find out who the disciples were. Now, these were not poor people in the sense that I've just described. They didn't come to Jesus for healing, did they? They didn't come because they thought they were demon-possessed or disabled. They were gainfully employed. So in that society then, they wouldn't be regarded as the poor. They may not have been the elite, the very rich or the religious elite, but they were certainly not poor. They had the means of livelihood for them to support themselves and probably their families. But what did they do? Jesus came along as they were minding their own business and doing their work. Jesus came and said, come, follow me. And they left everything and followed Jesus. Can you imagine what their families and friends would have been saying to them in that society then? How do you leave your means of livelihood and make yourself poor and follow Jesus? Do you see the two groups of people would have understood what poverty was like? So when Jesus said that those who are blessed and because they have the best thing any human can have, true riches, because they have the kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven in them, those people have to be poor in spirit. That crowd and the disciples understood exactly what he was talking about. So we must discover what that is. The common thing between the two is that these two groups were now dependent on somebody else to survive daily. Would you agree with that? And that's what Jesus was communicating. And when people miss that point, because they haven't looked at the word poor properly, they end up misinterpreting that simple, apparently, that simple passage. So now, we need to think about which Jesus meant. And what might help us is to understand how people try to help the poor. Okay? We know that anybody involved in charitable work, people understand that there are two ways you can help the poor. One is okay in the short term. That is dependence. So you just keep handing out what they need each day to live. You keep handing it out to them. Well, that's okay for them. It's better than nothing, isn't it? Well, we know that in material possessions and the things of this world, the one that is more effective is if you find out the root cause of the poverty and you try to break the cycle, which is what Jesus did as well. He healed them so they could go and find jobs, couldn't they, if they wanted to? So that is the way you help people long-term in this world. You give them economic independence. You remember the saying, don't keep giving them fish, but teach them how to catch the fish for themselves. Well, which did Jesus mean? Well, we have to understand that they haven't had time to go and get jobs. That's not what Jesus was talking about. Jesus was talking about their current condition. Jesus was telling them that for you to have the blessing of the kingdom of heaven in you, can't think of anything better for any human. If you're going to have that blessing, you're going to have to be constantly dependent. But this time, who's the benefactor? God. Do you get it? So if you don't look at it this way, you might be thinking he meant something different. So Jesus was talking about dependence on God daily. Well, that presents a challenge, doesn't it? As we will find out. Well, that's how it was supposed to be in the beginning. Do you remember Adam and Eve? That's how God always intended it to be. Adam and Eve, God gave them everything and told them exactly what is right and what is wrong. And there was only one thing he said, don't do. Don't eat from the fruit, from that tree of knowledge of good and evil. What would that do? You're striking out on your own. You're no longer dependent on God. You're now independent. You're now making your decisions about what is right and what is wrong. Remember, the devil came along and he told them something that to us, and people are still listening to sermons that tell them the same sorts of things. They will make it sound really good, like the devil did that day. He said to them, you will be like God. And isn't that a good thing? Even God says, be like me, I'm your father. But what was the devil saying? Let's read the relevant part of what he said to Eve. The devil said, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And Eve bought it, and Adam did too. Do you know what the devil was really leading them into? Idolatry. He had just said to them, you be your own God. And they bought it. And that was a disaster, don't we know? It's still a disaster in the world today. But think about how many sermons you've had that is actually feeding that independence rather than dependence on God. So, we can summarize from what we've discussed so far that what Jesus meant is that the poor in spirit, whether they are rich in this world or poor in this world, the poor in spirit, first of all, will recognize that they are needy souls. That's why the crowds followed Jesus. They recognized their need. That's why the disciples followed Jesus. They recognized they needed him in some way. So that's the first step, and that leads to repentance. Some people get there and stop. They think, been there, done that, tick. And then they carry on with independence and think that they are in the kingdom of God, or they have the kingdom of God in them. But the next statement is also true. The poor in spirit choose to remain needy and dependent on God daily. Now, that's where the challenge is, especially if you're not really poor, like those people I described. So we need to look at that for us. We need to understand. Okay, so the blessed person is the person who is poor in spirit and remains poor in spirit. So many Bible passages begin to make sense. Do you remember that that's how God has always dealt with people who he said he was pleased with? Go from Genesis to Revelation and think of any person, man or woman, that pleased God. That person would have demonstrated poverty of spirit. They depended on God. And they never struck out in independence, even when they did amazing things like Moses. He kept going back to God for the next step. And the one time he made a mistake, he didn't. Just look at the people of Israel, a whole nation. That shows God. God is dependable. Why can't we humans trust in God who owns everything? When he says, I'll take care of you if you get the order right. The people of Israel, a whole nation, God fed them every day with manna. And the detail of the care was such that the day before the Sabbath, because they'd been told you can't work on the Sabbath, so they couldn't go out to pick the manna on the Sabbath day, God supplied 2 days' worth of manna. That's the God we serve. And that's how the poor in spirit lives. And anybody who doesn't live like that hasn't got the kingdom of heaven in their hearts. That is the truth. That's what Jesus is teaching. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And that is a linchpin. It's not also a mistake that Jesus started from this point to teach the people, and then go on to talk about the principles of the kingdom. If you don't get this one right, that's why the blessed person must. If you get this one right, then you can be assured that you will enter the kingdom of God. You know where Jesus said, only those who do the will of God, towards the end of the same sermon, will enter the kingdom of God. It is only those who have poor in spirit. And what it is daily dependence on God. There are many Bible passages that we can talk about. I've given you just a couple of examples. I'm sure you can look at the Bible and we won't go away from here if we start looking at examples. But there are some we should know about. Look at the Lord's Prayer. Our Lord's the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. That is the relevant line in that prayer. Could we read it together, please? Give us today our daily bread. My question is, can you pray that prayer? Jesus said they should pray like that every day. Can you really pray that prayer and mean it? Or you're saying, give us today our daily bread, mouthing it. Meanwhile, you're thinking, I have so much money in the bank, I can feed myself. And I can feed many others while I'm at it. You see, if we're poor in spirit, we need to sort out our thinking and our attitudes, like the disciples who had all those things, but they detached themselves from those things in order to follow Jesus. And they still had what they needed, didn't they? God made their needs and made them people who could meet other people's needs as well. So the challenge for you and I in our reflections today and this week and going forward is, when I pray that prayer, what sort of thoughts can I bring about in my heart, deep within me, that will make it true that I'm depending on God for my daily bread? It's not that difficult, you know, to think the right thoughts. How many people in this world had riches 1 minute, and the next hour they've lost it all? There are many, many people. We prayed about the fires. There are people who've lost everything they have. There are people who have lost what they have because there was a flood. It's raining now. Some people, their hearts will be quaking now because they could lose everything they have. It could be wars. There are people who are refugees with nothing, depending on constant support. But these people were wealthy people before war struck. Sometimes it's crime. Sometimes it's governments collapsing. What do you think you have? You can lose it tomorrow. If you don't lose it right here, that you could lose your own life, then you've lost it all anyway. It's actually not difficult to think the right thoughts, so that every day when we pray that prayer, if we're poor in spirit, we will mean it. As if our lives depended on it, we'll be able to say, Lord, provide for me today. Even though I may have hundreds of thousands of pounds in the bank, or I may have nothing in the bank, like the crowds and the disciples, detach yourself from all that and depend on God, because it's the only certainty we can have. So, let's think the right thoughts concerning that, always, so we retain poverty of spirit. You know, we choose to be needy. So if I pick up a cup of coffee, I will say, thank you, Lord, for this. If I drink water, I should have that thanksgiving coming in from my heart, because I know if God takes away his oxygen this moment and decides to keep oxygen from the whole world for about an hour, what do you think will happen? Everybody will be dead. So let's face the reality of our existence and pursue poverty of spirit. Let's try another Bible passage. You remember this one from Hebrews? Let's read it together. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. This speaks about constant dependence. If you're depending on God to guide you and direct you, whether you're at work or in the traffic or in the shops or at home, of course, you have to stay attentive. And when you hear him, do not harden your hearts. Many people talk themselves out of what the Holy Spirit is leading them to do. Or they would talk themselves out of what the word of God said is right. You're showing them this is what God said you should do or not do. And they will tell you they will do the opposite. They find ways to justify it. This is what I'm going to do. Then they will twist scripture, take half of scripture, or ignore scripture. People who focus on doing their own will. So, they are not poor in spirit, let's face facts. To be poor in spirit is to have the kingdom of God, and that is to be constantly dependent on God, no matter whether we have or don't have. This is another popular Bible passage that we all love and quote, but do we live it? Let's read it together, please. It's from Proverbs chapter 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. Now, this is for all people who are clever and gifted and talented. And every one of us has got gifts and talents. We are clever in some way. And let's face it, look at the world. People are able to do things for themselves. People, the world over, because God has put something in the human that the human is incredibly gifted and talented. And people can ignore the fact that it's God that gave them all those things. And that's what most people in the world are doing. And they can make it, can they? Can you can name people who don't have time for God. They may even say they don't believe in God, but they are using their cleverness. But the sad thing is that there are people who say they depend on God, and that's what they're depending on too. Now, am I saying don't use your abilities? Yes, but don't lean on them. When it comes to, is it right or is it wrong to do this? Should I go down this path or that path? We need to depend on God to direct us. And so we can use all that he has gifted us with according to his will. Otherwise, we use all of that and veer off in the wrong direction, which will end up in disaster eventually, if not in this world, but in the world to come, certainly. What about this other Bible passage? Can we see we're talking about walking in the Spirit? Because the people who have the kingdom of heaven in them have God living in them, God the Holy Spirit, and he's giving direction from inside. So let's read this. This text is just two sentences from Galatians chapter 5. Let's read together. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Only the poor in spirit can live like that. Do you see why Jesus said what he said? Only the poor in spirit can keep in step with the Holy Spirit. How do we apply all that? Because that's really what Jesus is saying. We hear the truth. If we don't apply it to our lives, Jesus said, it's pointless. We must be doers of the word, not just hearers. So we need to look at practical application. May I suggest that we start with our thought lives? I need to constantly tell myself, think deep from within my heart, that I desperately need the Holy Spirit every day. And I mean it when I say desperately. I desperately need the Holy Spirit every day. You desperately need the Holy Spirit every day. But are you convinced of this? Because if you are, it would affect every area of your life. And that's precisely what Jesus is saying. Because after making the pronouncements, he went on to teach about very high standards that people in the kingdom of heaven are expected to live by. And he talked about how they will end up in the kingdom of God. So it would affect every area of our lives. But let's pick three. In your reflections and discussions, don't limit yourself. But we've got to pick three, and I think these three are quite important. If you're poor in spirit, you have a totally different attitude to prayer. Because prayer, at the heart of it, is connection with God. It's not just about spewing our needs at God. It's about talking to Him, listening to Him. It's about obeying Him. It's about worship. It's that everything we do in connection with God, you can bring it under the umbrella of prayer. It's our lifeline. So if you say you're poor in spirit and you're totally dependent on God, and you don't understand that prayer is your lifeline, then, well, there's something is not right, really. So it will affect our attitude to prayer, whether it's corporate or personal prayer. And then only people who are poor in spirit will be able to obey the command of scriptures that we should pray constantly and not give up. Do you see, I've described a person so far who is in constant prayer. Do you agree with me? That's the only way you can obey it, by being poor in spirit. What about thanksgiving? I've already mentioned that. That if you are poor in spirit, then you thank God for everything. You will be able to thank God for the rain, for the sunshine, for everything. Because you can thank God in any circumstance of life. Because even the breath you're taking, you should be thankful for the oxygen we're breathing right now. So for somebody not to be thankful means they are not poor in spirit. They don't understand just how much they depend on God. And I tell you, when you have that kind of thankful spirit, by the way, the Bible said, give thanks in all circumstances, for it's God's will concerning you. Only the poor in spirit can do that. And I tell you, it will do wonders for your mental and emotional health. And it's a measure of your spiritual health and maturity. Whether you're a thankful person or a moaning, groaning, complaining, grumbling person. Thankfulness is a measure of whether you're poor in spirit or not. And of course, discerning what God is saying and doing it. You have to be poor in spirit to even want to do that. May God help us so that we will understand the truths that He has told us and that He will give us the grace to meditate on them until they become part of us, so that we can put them into practice and live as people who have the kingdom of God in them. Blessed people, the truly blessed, that will also end up in the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name.